So again, we'll be in Isaiah 9, Luke 2, and Galatians 5 this morning as we go ahead and look at our last theme this year for Christmas. As we're looking at the candles of Advent, we'll go ahead and light our three candles we've lit so far before we read our memory verse today. All right, and so today we're going to be talking about peace. All right. Yeah, thank you. All right, let's go over a memory verse this morning. Here we go. All right. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. All right. Very good. Very good. Very good. So today, as I said, we're going to be talking about the theme of peace. Several years ago, Holly roped me into watching Miss Congeniality. Anybody ever seen that movie? It's a funny movie. If you haven't seen it, I would encourage you to go back and watch it. So for those of you who haven't seen it, I'll give you a brief little snippet of it. Sandra Bullock is the main character, and she plays an undercover FBI agent who is trying to stop someone from sabotaging the Miss America pageant. One of my favorite parts of the movie is the question round. So Sandra Bullock is undercover as a contestant in the pageant, and that she makes it down, you know, past the first cut, and she makes it down to the question round. And so William Shatner plays the host who's asking the questions, and he calls, I can't remember what state she's from, and she said, and he's like, "What is the one thing our society needs the most?" And he puts the mic over, and Sandra Bullock pauses for a second, and she says, "Harsher punishment for parole violators." And there's a deafening silence across the crowd. No, you can hear a pin drop. And then she goes, "And world peace." And the crowd goes, "Ah!" Right? Because the clips before her answer, every one of the contestants answered world peace. Interestingly enough, the script authors for Miss Congeniality didn't get it wrong. They actually got it very right. Because for thousands of years, peace and world peace has been a topic of conversation. In fact, the era in which the Bible is written, from a little bit before Jesus' birth to pretty much the end of the New Testament, was collectively known in history as the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. It was an era in Roman history where there was actually very little war on the borders, and there was very little civil war internally in the Roman government. So peace abounded, and they traveled easy, which helped actually the spread of Christianity, interestingly enough. When I was, as I was a young adult, one of the great things that was talked about as in middle school and in high school and maybe even elementary school was, are we going to get peace in the Middle East, right? Are Israel and the Palestinians, are they going to? And as I look back at this week, even at the kind of the history, they still haven't found peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Now, we know why. From a theological perspective, they're not going to. Right, it's the age-old struggle of Ishmael and of Isaac, right? And so, but that was one of the topics of conversation. I looked this week at peace in the Bible, and I made an interesting discovery. Actually, peace—the word peace—is used more times in the Bible than grace and mercy put together. I was blown away by that. We often talk in church, talk about grace, and we preach about grace, and I've talked about mercy a lot, and we preach about mercy, but rarely do we talk about peace, even though that's something that we all want and we all know we need, and when we don't have it, we strive to find it, right? And so today we're going to look at peace from a context of three verses in the Bible, but before we do, I want to give you just kind of a brief summary, just two little ideas that I want you to remember as we talk about peace this morning. When the Bible talks about peace, it does so in two main areas. The first is what I've summarized as a general area. When the Bible speaks about peace in general terms, it means a reduced hostilities between countries. It means as a greeting, peace be with you, and things like that. It can also mean the covenant relationship between God and Israel. But then there's a second vein, and this serves as probably the majority usage of the word peace, is a personal sense. So you have a general sense, and you have a personal or individual sense. All right? Everybody with me so far? General, personal. When the Bible, and this is the kind of the vein that we're going to run in this morning, or the track that we're going to run in, when the Bible speaks of the word peace in a personal sense, it does so with the meaning of a life of wholeness or completeness. So whenever you read peace in the Bible and it deals with a personal situation, it is always referring to that person having wholeness or completeness in their life. All right, anybody with me? Wholeness or completeness. Now, you need to remember that as we look at these three verses, okay? So let's begin by reading Isaiah 9:6. It should be on the screen behind you, or behind me. Here we go. This is the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and look at this last one, Prince of Peace. Isaiah here is prophesying in the future about the coming Messiah. He says, a child will be born to us. We know and we realize that child is the Messiah or the Anointed One or the Christ, which equals Jesus. And what he does is he says, when Jesus comes, he's going to fulfill, and we talked about this at length last Christmas. We went over every one of these names or titles. But what Isaiah is doing, just as a reminder, he is giving titles to Jesus because of those are the roles or the functions that Jesus is going to fulfill. And what is the last one? Prince of Peace. Now let's bring in our definition of peace. What did we say it was? Wholeness, a life of wholeness or completeness. Okay? So let's do a simple equation. If we put Prince on the front of life giving wholeness or completeness, what do we have as a role for Jesus? Here's what you have. If you're doing a little math equation, all of this equals Jesus is the master of bringing wholeness and completeness to people. So hundreds of years when Isaiah wrote, before Jesus was born, Isaiah says the Messiah, Jesus, will be the master, the ruler of bringing wholeness and making completeness in the life of people. Kids, if you're taking notes this morning, Isaiah 9:6 shows us that Jesus is the Prince of making people whole or complete. The Prince of making people whole or complete. When I was a kid, every summer, me and my sister spent during the days at my grandma's house. My mom and dad both worked on the Air Force Base in Warner Robins, and so they drop us off early before breakfast. Really, we go back to sleep. We wake up, we'd watch cartoons in the morning. We'd shell peas. We'd pick green beans. We'd pick tomatoes. We'd snap beans. We'd play baseball in the front yard. We always, and I think I've told y'all this before, we always at least once played like a 2 or 3 day battle royale of Monopoly, right? Which my granddad always won, it seems like. I don't know how he did it, but he always won. But inevitably, every summer, in the repertoire of things that we would do during the summer at my grandma's house, we would always do a puzzle, right? A puzzle. And now we didn't do like a 100-piece puzzle. Oh no, my grandma was like, It's like 1,000 piece, like 2,500 piece puzzle. We tried to do one on vacation this summer, and all of us were like, what were we thinking? This was ridiculous, right? But Grandma, and it would usually take a week. We didn't work on it like all day. But, you know, when you wake up at lunchtime, you know, you don't have that many hours in the afternoon to work on it, right? College students, right? Sleep till lunch, right? Thank you. All right. Right? So we would work on it a couple hours every day after we've done some chores, you know, ate lunch and all this kind of stuff, usually in the afternoon. And I don't know how y'all do puzzles, but the Graham household, my grandma's house is how we did puzzles. We always did the borders first. Right? Is everybody? I think that's like a common way to put the puzzle together. Okay, so we're good. We're good. So we would everybody would have a job, and we'd get all the edges and get the border, and we would put all the border. And usually by day one, we had the border done, and we had all of the puzzle pieces kind of colored, all the like color ones together. And then if you would come by on day two, you would see a little bit more of the puzzle put together, but you may not be able to see like the entire picture of the puzzle, right? By day three, there's still significant holes in the puzzle, but a little bit more of it came together. Now, depending on how much time we had, that by day four, it's pretty much either done or like really close to being done. And then, you know, we'd finish it up on Friday if there was anything left over. But if you, like I said, but if you were to come on day two or three, Think about it with me. You're about a third of the way into a 2,500 piece puzzle. There are significant holes in the puzzle, right? And you can make out part of the puzzle, but you can't make out all of the puzzle without looking at the box top, right? And as I was reading this passage this week, I thought when I was reading about the Prince of Peace, and I was reminded of us doing puzzles at my grandma's house, I couldn't help but think, isn't our life a lot like a 2,500 piece puzzle? Right? Because there throughout life, we put, imagine your life as a puzzle, right? Throughout life, you put pieces in, right? But don't you get down to there's parts of your life where you just can't find that piece? You know, like little sister dropped it under the table and can't nobody find it, and there's that like piece missing that you really need, right? But isn't that like what life is really like for us a lot of times? Like the picture of our life is this, and God's moving us into greater sense of living and being and looking like his son Jesus, and we're moving toward that, and we can figure out some of the pieces, but there's always these several pieces in our life that we just can't put in the puzzle right. Maybe it's a relationship that's unresolved in our life, and no matter what we try to do, that piece that we need to get fixed to move to the next area of living our life, we just can't quite get it in there right. Or maybe it's something that happened when we were a kid, and it's dogged us for decades. And we're trying to get this little puzzle piece put up so we can get all these other pieces of our life put in, but we just can't quite get it in, right? And when I thought of that, and I thought of that this idea of Jesus bringing wholeness or completeness, in my mind, what I see is Jesus is the one who picks up those pieces that we could never pick up and that we could never put in the right spot. And he goes, boop, and he puts it in. And over time, and with walking with him, and with serving with him, and living with him, Jesus slowly but surely puts one piece after another in our life. Boom, 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 boom. So that as the more we walk with him, the more we look like him. Because ultimately, what is Jesus trying to do? Remember we talked about James? He's trying to give us opportunities for growth, to chip away all the things that don't look like him in our life. Well, when those things happen, it's like he's picking up the puzzle piece of our life and going, boom, that's where that one needs to go. And boom, that's where that one needs to go. Right? And over time, the longer we walk with him and the closer we walk with him and the more we walk with him, the more our life begins to look like him and less like Swiss cheese. Right? Because we've all got holes in our hearts. I know we've all got holes in our life that we've tried to fill and we've tried to fix, But the only thing that's going to make us whole and complete is the Prince, the ruler of making whole and complete and bringing wholeness and completeness. And that's the person of Jesus. Let me put it to you bluntly, okay? There are a lot of things in all of our lives that we will never be able to solve and that we will never be able to put the pieces together outside of a relationship with Jesus and outside of Jesus doing it for us. Right? Because let's read our next verse. Let's read Luke 2:14. Luke 2:14. We read this last week, but I want to read it again because I want to highlight a different part of it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude, the heavenly host begins praising God and saying, listen, glory to God in the highest. Listen to this last phrase. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. This phrase, among those with whom he is free, pleased, is a Jewish phrase for saying the followers of God. So let's read it again and insert the easier to understand. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among the followers of God. Right? It's not peace on earth, blanket. It's a peace on earth for those who follow God. Let me put it to you very bluntly. The only people on earth who have true peace, God's peace, are people who continually follow after the Lord. Whenever our lives look more like Swiss cheese and the unfinished puzzle, what that should tell us is we haven't been following God closely enough as we should to allow Him to put the pieces of our life back together. Because see, I don't know if y'all are like me, but sometimes I put pieces in and then sometimes I take the hammer to the pieces and go, ka-shh, and break them all apart. And then wonder, oh, what happened? God, you've left me. No, I took the pieces out, right? I did this to the pieces, right? And then God has to come in. And whenever we stop walking with the Lord, right, we're not giving Him an opportunity to be the Prince of Peace in our life. Because only those who have peace are the ones who have peace are only those who walk with the Lord. The great part is, let's flip down to Galatians 5:22 through 23. We'll see another facet of this. Because God just doesn't bring peace one time in our life, but He continually does it over and over. This is Paul. But the fruit of the Spirit is, look at it, love, joy, what's the third one? Peace, right? So a fruit of the Spirit means peace only comes from the Spirit. But the great part is, Jesus doesn't just bring peace in your life one time and then drop it and let it go. But since Paul tells us that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, that means He is trying to build that in our lives over and over and over and over and over and over and into eternity. So here's kind of the point. The most peaceful people in the world, the most complete and the most whole people in the world should be Christ's followers, because God has implanted His peace in us through the person and work of Jesus. And He continues that peace in our life through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the question becomes, what's wrong in times when we're not peaceful? Well, something has messed with our wholeness. Something has messed with our completeness. And you know this intuitively, right? When are the moments when you were the most restless? When are the moments where you are the most agitated? When are the moments where you are the most without peace? Well, I can give you one for my parents. I haven't experienced this yet, but I'm sure we will. We've got two kids. They'll be older soon. There was one night, my mom and dad gave me a curfew, and I was my senior year of high school. It might have even been during the summer, like in between high school and college. And they were like, you should need to be home by midnight. Got it. I was always home by midnight except this one time, right? And I went over to my buddy's house. He since passed away. And we were playing video games. And we got to play this one video game I didn't have and completely lost track of time. I mean, just blew through 12 o'clock like it was nothing. I mean, just... And teenagers, this was like right at the dawn of the era of cell phones. Right? So, having you way to really like contact my mom and dad, you know, to tell them what was the deal was. So I finally used their, teenagers, there's this thing called a landline. There's a phone that hangs on the wall and has this long cord with it. Y'all, I know y'all don't know it. It has numbers. Like you actually have to like push, not just on the screen. Anyway, it's called a house phone. I know nobody has that anymore. But I called the house phone and dialed my mom and dad's number, right? And I don't remember which one answered the phone, but it was like, where are you at? So then I was like, I'll be home soon. So I put the phone down. My buddy was like, hey, you got to try this one more thing on this game. We got to finish. So I was like, okay. Right? So I rolled in like 25 minutes after I should have been. Like if I'd have left his house, it would have taken about 10 minutes to get home. Well, I got home like 25 minutes after that. The house is like dark as Egypt, as my grandmother would say. Right? Except I could tell the TV was on in the living room. And so I come, you know, like, quietly. Of course, the door goes, like, right? And I open the door and walk in, and my dad was up. I figured it'd be my mom, but my dad was up, and he was sitting there watching, you know, like, an old Bonanza or something, you know, old Western on the phone, in his recliner. He's like, son, where you been? Well, see what had happened. Thought you said you were going to be home. And you could just tell in his voice that he did not have peace until my behind was in the house, right? And isn't that the way a lot of us are in general? Whenever things disrupt our completeness or our wholeness, that's when we lose peace. And that's when we tend to not allow Jesus to be the Prince of Peace and pick up the pieces for us and put them back in our life. So here's your challenge today. Here's your challenge today. You need, and I need, we need to ask God to show us where we need His peace. Ask God, pray, ask God, show me where I need Your peace. Where am I the most restless? Where am I the most incomplete? Where am I the most lacking? And I just believe that if we ask God, He'll show us. He'll reveal that to us. He'll tell us. Now, here's going to be the tricky part. Because it's one thing to ask. It's another thing to do, right? Because see, the second half of this challenge is not don't only just ask God, but then you need to pray, Lord, make sure I say this right. Lord, help me to let You put the pieces back in my life. Let me let You do it, because I've been trying for so long to put this relationship piece or this incident piece or this action piece or this thing that happened to me piece, and it just hasn't worked out. So Lord, let me let go of it and You put it back in my life, right? So you got to ask God to show you, and then you got to let Him, allow Him to give you peace in your life. Peace is something that everybody looks for, but few have. But today, we can have peace in our life if we'll just let Jesus be the master of putting pieces back together in our life. Pray with me. Lord, thank You so much for this wonderful day that You've created. Lord, thank You for showing us who Jesus is, the Prince of Peace, that He is about bringing peace in our lives, that He is about helping us, that He is about helping us put the pieces back together in our lives. Lord, so many of our lives are like puzzles with vast holes, like Swiss cheese with holes all through it. And Lord, those holes can only be mended and fixed, glued back together stitched up by the person and work of Jesus. So Lord, my prayer today is that we would let You do, let Jesus do the work that only He can do. Lord, may we allow You to do surgery in our hearts and pick up the pieces that we need where we're lacking today, so that we may have true wholeness and true completeness this week, this month, this upcoming year in 2020. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.